With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to Comic Confidential, the weekly show where we discuss our favorite things from popular culture. My name is Troy.
My name is Rachel.
And we are back in the building, in our own building.
In our building.
We're in a building. We're here. We're going to talk about the best and worst entries into franchises, I guess is the best.
Yeah.
The best way I can put that.
I think so. Yes. We're talking all things film franchises. And we're just going to basically trash the ones we don't like and hype up the ones we do.
Yep. so we've got a whole bunch of those that we're going to cover off. But first, we have some very exciting news. Sort of.
Is it?
I don't know.
Are you excited?
It's probably too early to really announce anything as news, but mm-hmm. It's too late. It's done. So now we're going to do it.
Decisions have been made, friends.
Yes, they have. Basically what's going to happen is in the coming weeks, whether it's next week or the week after that, the format of the show is going to change a little. We're going to be bringing some things in. Mm-hmm. We're going to be getting rid of some stuff.
Yes.
We're going to be changing
things up.
Namely, Cade. Cade's gone. He's gone.
We've decided on the date of his execution in the dungeon.
Yes. So Cade will no longer be with us. That's not true. He'll be with us. He'll be with us about as often as he is now.
which is largely in spirit.
It's almost never. So basically a whole bunch of things are going to change in the show coming forward to make it a little bit fresh, a little bit exciting. We're going to have some segments. We're going to bring some things back that we used to run in the old show. We're going to do some new things differently. That's about all you're going to get right now.
We haven't figured it out yet.
We figured most of it out, but basically there's still some finishing touches that need to be put on. So look out for that in the very near future. Mm. It's going to be it'll be a week or two, something like that, before we do that. You'll know when everything's fucking different.
When it's in your ear holes, you'll realize, oh, things are different.
Yeah. Exactly. But look, I wish I had a better segue into our main topic this week, but I don't. the Comic Confidential franchise is about to have a new entry. We are a franchise.
Yeah.
Kind of. Kind of like a what's a real shit takeaway franchise? Like Taco Bell. We're like the Taco Bell franchise of the podcasting world.
Yep.
Where, you know, it's quick, it's easy, and it's probably going to give you the shits.
Yes.
So
that is us. In a nutshell.
Anyway, what we're talking about this week is we are going to talk about the best and worst entries into a franchise.
Yes.
So a franchise is not necessarily a film series that has one or two entries. I feel like it needs to have at least three.
It's going to have like three, four.
Three beyond.
Three and beyond.
Think the Fast and the Furious franchise, except not that, because no one else has seen it except me.
Dear God.
No one else seems to like it except for me and a handful of other people on Earth.
Yeah.
But I think it's great. But we're going to talk about things like we're going to talk about Star Wars, mm-hmm. Avengers,
yes,
some Harry Potter. We'll get some Harry Potter in there.
Some Harry Potter. We got some sparkly vamps happening.
We are legitimately even going to talk about Twilight. Don't turn off. Just stick with us. There's going to be some other stuff that's not Twilight.
But it's mostly not Twilight. If
that's better for you, it is mostly not Twilight. I guess we need to kind of point out that this is a personal sort of thing,
isn't it? It's an opinion. It's a matter of opinion.
Exactly. It's not the definitive, hey, we are saying that this is the best and this is the worst entry, you might think completely differently.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about it.
Okay.
I don't. Not you. I want to hear about you. You need to tell me.
Okay. I was like, well, why am I here?
Otherwise, this is going to be very one-sided. But, you know, other people might not necessarily agree with some of the choices that we make.
Yeah.
But, hey, we're on the internet.
We're on the internet.
Everyone disagrees with everyone.
Yeah. I know for sure people are going to arc up about some of my choices. Fucking come at me, bro.
Mate, I guarantee they will.
I guarantee 100% they're not going to like what I have to say.
All right. Well, let's get started. Let's get started with possibly the franchise that has the potential to be one of the more triggering.
Mm.
Because we know there are some bloody fickle fans out there, don't we?
Fickle as fuck.
There's Harry Potter fans.
Yes.
Fickle.
Fickle.
Marvel fans, fickle as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
DC fans, probably the worst of the lot.
Like namby-pamby girls.
Like namby-pamby girls. That's Rachel's thoughts, not mine. And probably the worst of all, perhaps, maybe, in the history of franchises, is going to be close to the Star Wars fans.
They are so pedantic.
I love you. You're my people.
Yeah.
Because I love Star Wars.
Me too.
But... man, some of you need to chill.
Yeah.
Some of you need to chill.
It's just so super fans. Like, just relax a little.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself.
Just enjoy yourself. All right, so let's get into it. We are going to talk about Star Wars. Now, the franchise as a whole, there's 9 movies, right? But we're going to break it down into 3 individual trilogies, I guess, is the best way to do it.
I did both appreciate and curse this approach.
Okay.
Because having it as a whole would have made it a lot easier for me.
Okay, sure.
I had to get a little bit more in depth and battle myself a little bit.
Sure.
To pick out of 3 lots of 3.
Okay. well, sorry to make it difficult for you.
That's all right. I cried a little.
But that's the way it's happening. So we're going to start with the OG Star Wars trilogy, which is obviously 1977's A New Hope, 1980's The Empire Strikes Back, and 1983's Return of the Jedi. Rachel.
Indeed.
Which is your favorite entry into that series?
1983's Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hot take. Yeah.
I know. I'm triggering people already. I can feel it. I can feel the fan hate. It fuels me.
Well, you're a woman, so you probably already had it anyway. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Ooh.
Can I say that?
I guess.
I just did. So.
Yeah.
Return of the Jedi.
Mm.
Why is that?
It's the nostalgia factor for me. It's the first Star Wars film that I ever saw. Right. Or that I remember watching. It's the big payoff. You know, so even when you do watch it, it's like you're watching the 3 of them and it all builds up to that.
Yeah.
So I just really enjoy that and plus Ewoks.
Oh, okay, sure.
I love them.
Who doesn't love an Ewok?
Yeah.
Okay, Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Good pick. Wrong pick,
I know.
Look, the consensus is pretty much that Empire Strikes Back is the best. And that is my personal opinion as well.
Yeah.
I think a lot of great stuff happens in the Empire Strikes Back. The biggest kind of the biggest drawback, well, I don't know. I think the fact that they had the balls back in 1980 to end it on a cliffhanger effectively and make you go, suckers, you're going to have to wait three bloody years. To see what happens. That kind of left some people going like, what the fuck? Come on, man. That's not how we want our movies. But I liked it. I think it benefits from it. Empire Strikes Back is amazing. There's absolutely like, it's almost to me, it's got to be close up there to like that perfect sequel.
Yeah.
Does everything the first movie does and just ramps it up a little bit.
Yes.
So Empire Strikes Back is my entry. What's your worst then?
A New Hope.
Okay.
Yeah. See, Empire Strikes Back is... I do love it. So it was like a very close second to me. But A New Hope, just because it's like it's the least memorable, it's quite slow. It's a nice entry into the franchise. It just doesn't really do much else.
Yeah, okay. I will... for me, it's obviously Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And the reason... there's a couple of reasons why I say Return of the Jedi. For me, I think this is kind of really like the Batman and Robin of the franchise. Like, look, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't mean that in the sense that it is as shit as Batman and Robin. The only thing I mean is like it really started to get to a point where they looked like they were starting to market to toys and things like that. Yeah. Like they knew what they had on their hands. So it's kind of like even back in 1983, they're like, yeah, let's give these fucking kids Ewoks. And they're going to love it.
Rachel's going to grow up. And I loved it.
Exactly.
I fell for it hard.
Exactly. So I think it gets a little bit sort of like falls into that territory there. It gets a little bit, it's a little bit camp as well, sort of when we're dealing with the Ewoks and stuff, which, you know, is fine. Some people love that sort of stuff. Not so much me. And it's got that awful bloody Luke Skywalker trying to save Han Solo and Princess Leia fucking plan where he goes in and basically just gets himself captured. And then he does like a force kick on Boba Fett or something. And all of it looks terrible.
I like that sequence.
Look, I think it's cool. And it was cool in 1983. I didn't see it then, but I'm sure it was. But looking at it now, it's kind of like, come on, man. Mm-hmm. You didn't mean to do a force kick. That's just shit choreography.
Okay, fair enough.
Now you're just trying to like play it off like
fair enough.
All right, we're going to move into prequel Star Wars.
Yes.
Prequel Star Wars being 1999's The Phantom Menace, 2002's Attack of the Clones, and 2005's Revenge of the Sith.
Yes.
What's your favorite?
Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
I can't go past it.
Yep.
It is like you see the birth of Darth Vader.
Yep.
You know, that fight in the lava, Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yep.
And, you know, I've got the high ground and that all epic. Of it.
Every
you know,
meme that we've ever gotten from Star Wars has ever. Come from that scene.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Yep.
Look, it's not the best fight sequence in all of Star Wars. No. That definitely goes to The Phantom Menace.
Yep. Agreed.
But to me that was an easy pick.
Yeah.
It's the one that I'll continuously watch. Like the characters throughout that prequel series consistently get better and they peak in Revenge of the Sith as well. Yeah.
I think they kind of finally start to nail, like, basically what you're saying is the character of some of these characters. Whereas in Attack of the Clones, everything is just horrible. It's like wooden, it's clunky.
Yes.
It's like, you know, but they kind of sort of settle into their roles in Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, Natalie Portman's character essentially dies of a broken heart when you can rebuild fucking hands and all this sort of stuff. And and Anakin Skywalker is basically just a stump. And he somehow manages to live. We look past all that, and I agree with you. Revenge of the Sith is definitely the best.
Yeah.
What's your least favorite then in this?
Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Smart.
The dialogue hits like a new low.
Oh man,
it's a new low. This movie is cringy to the max. I know a lot of people would say that about The Phantom Menace.
Nah.
Phantom Menace for me is a film for children. So, and that's how I view it.
It's a film for children who really want to learn about like intergalactic trade federations and whatnot, because they fucking talk about it a lot.
They do, but you don't know, like, as a grown up, you notice it. As a child, my kids, they don't know shit about the Trade Federation. They don't care. They're just like, hey, Jar Jar Binks, pod racing, Darth Maul, fucking sick, yeah.
Why does that alien sound like a Jamaican person?
They don't care. They don't care.
That's the innocence of youth.
To me, I just Phantom Menace is a movie for kids. Meh.
Well, see, Phantom Menace benefits from Darth Maul.
Yes.
Like 1,000%. It benefits from that fight scene with him and Qui-Gon Jinn. It benefits from Jewel of the Fates. All of that stuff. The entire any sequence involving Darth Maul really sort of elevates The Phantom Menace.
Yep.
Attack of the Clones. Well, guess what? It doesn't fucking have him.
It doesn't
because
have him.
Chopped him in half in the first one.
Correct.
But it is what it is. Attack of the Clones is boring.
Yes.
Really is the best is way boring. I can kind of put it. All right, well, let's move.
So we're in agreement with both of them.
No, we are in agreement. Yeah, that's why I'm
moving
on. Oh, my
God. That's awesome.
That rarely happens.
Rarely.
But here we
are. Maybe we don't have to fight each other after
Maybe
all.
Maybe we don't this week. Early days. Early days, we're like 14 minutes in, mate. Give it a chance. We'll go on to sequel Star Wars, which is obviously 2015's The Force Awakens, 2017's The Last Jedi, and 2019's The Rise of Skywalker.
Mm.
I'll go first.
Yeah, please do.
Because this was the easiest one for me.
Oh wow!
By far.
Okay.
Because The Rise of Skywalker was shite.
Okay.
Like, it was not a good movie. Yep. At all. It had some sequences that were good,
mm-hmm.
but it kind of just, you know, we now know that there was no kind of like full oversight to the trilogy, and they never really had like an overarching plan for what they wanted to happen. And we see the differences from The Force Awakens into The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
And then the differences from The Last Jedi into The Rise of Skywalker. And the whole thing suffers really, it suffers a lot because of it, and none more so than The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
Which, like I said, apart from a few cool scenes,
yeah.
is pretty much nonsense.
Yeah, okay.
And so it comes down to, so that's my least favorite. And then mm-hmm. as far as favorites goes, I was really high on The Last Jedi when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So when I first watched it, I'm like, this is fucking brilliant. I thought it was great. Subsequent rewatches have kind of made me go, maybe it's not as good as I thought it was. Again, there's some really amazing like set pieces, some sequences that we have in this movie are better than anything that we have seen before.
Mm-hmm.
It just, I don't know. It just, there's also a couple of things that I just can't let slide. One of them being Mary Poppins' Leia.
Yeah. Yeah.
Out in space. that sort of thing. Like there are plenty of things in there. So for me, it's The Force Awakens. And I know a lot of people say that The Force Awakens is just a rehash of A New Hope.
Yep.
And that might be true. But mm-hmm. it's a rehash of A New Hope in 2015. And it looked fucking excellent.
Yeah.
And we got introduced to a hell of a lot of characters that had a lot of promise
mm-hmm.
that unfortunately they didn't all get to live up to. Yep. What do you think?
No, I 100% agree with you with The Force Awakens. That's my favorite.
Yep.
It was just, on seeing it the first time, it was just so good to be back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I loved seeing the new characters and meeting them and being introduced to them. I loved seeing them interacting with the older characters. This movie was pure potential.
Yeah.
Which is why my least favorite is The Last Jedi.
Oh, really?
Because it broke my heart.
Oh, okay. So you were really pushing for
I
this
was
whole.
So pumped after seeing The Force Awakens, which is not, by all means, it's not a perfect movie.
Yeah.
But I was like, this can go places. I'm seeing a lot of potential. I'm really excited. I'm walking into The Last Jedi. I'm walking out of The Last Jedi. I'm going, what the fuck? And because it broke all of the rules, but like not in a good way. And I could see things shifting in a really shitty direction.
Mm.
And it got to the point that like by the time Rise of Skywalker came out, I was like, I'm just ready for whatever shit pile they're about to give me.
Yeah.
So my expectations were so low that I was still disappointed, but it wasn't like it's not my least favorite now because it was The Last Jedi that broke it for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
See, I went the other way with The Last Jedi. I liked the choices they made.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of sick of this whole like everything, like everyone has to be related to a fucking Skywalker somehow,
mm-hmm.
or you know, all this sort of stuff, or you know, someone has to be Han Solo's kid,
mm-hmm.
or it's got to be related to the core characters from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that, you know, Rian Johnson kind of had the balls to turn around and go, yeah, no, fuck that, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It can actually be anybody.
Mm.
But I think because of what we got in The Rise of Skywalker, which was kind of just a complete flip on that. And it's like, guess what?
Yeah.
Rey's fucking granddad is Emperor fucking Palpatine or whatever.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous thing. I can't.
Then it's kind of like, yeah, nah, I'm not here for any of this. Just give me The Force Awakens and I'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'll put you on the spot real quick. Just real quick so we can move on from Star Wars. We've been talking about this for ages.
Yeah.
Best and worst, you don't have to tell me why, but best and worst of the entire 9 movie series.
Okay, Revenge of the Sith, Last Jedi.
Okay. So best is Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Out of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Nuts. I will say that it is the Empire Strikes Back is the best,
yeah.
And Attack of the Clones is the worst, because that movie is a piece of shit.
Okay, all right.
But let's move on.
Okay.
Let's move on to a little franchise. You might have heard of it called Lord of the Rings, or the Lord of the Rings, I better say, just in case people get angry because I didn't say it right.
Because these people are also shills.
they're nuts. But nuts in a good way. Yeah. So basically we had 2001's Fellowship of the Ring, mm-hmm. the 2002's The Two Towers, 2003's The Return of the King, a trilogy unlike anything we had really ever seen before, like yes. on a fucking ridiculously grand scale. Put New Zealand on the map.
Yeah, it's still on the map.
Yeah, it's still there.
Like 20 years later, it's still on the map.
Prior to 2000, didn't exist. No. Wasn't there. No. It was just all Pacific Ocean. Mm. And now, from 2001, they've actually got their little island on the map, finally.
Bless them.
Shout out to our trans-Tasman friends.
Love Auntie Jacinda.
but yeah, basically three epic 14-hour movies, you know, years in a row, 2001, 2002, 2003.
Yeah, because they shot them all at the same time.
I don't know what they were doing. I think rumor has it they're still shooting them
They're still shooting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
they have
retroactively. They're still doing edits.
The Return of the King is still ending.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it's still like, because they just want to make more and more extended cuts. And the extension keeps going.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever.
All right. Now, do you have without saying sort of which is your favorite, which isn't, do you have standouts in this one? Because people would argue that this is a pretty solid trilogy.
Yeah, it's a very solid trilogy, and it really is just one film.
Yeah.
It's three acts, one film. So it was a little bit difficult, but I did it.
It's like watching two blokes do an ultra marathon.
Yeah.
But walk the whole thing. Like no running. I would agree. It's really hard to separate the three of them.
Mm.
I think there's a clear bad one for me.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if you're the same, but mine is The Two Towers.
Oh, mine too.
Yeah.
I thought that people were going to come for me. I thought that because you're like a fighting guy. You like fighting. And
that's,
I was
that's
like...
That's me. That's, what they, I was that's like, what they say.
If you're not into battles, there's really not much else that this movie has to offer.
Well, you know what there is? Fucking trees.
Oh, of course. I forgot about the trees.
There's trees. And I think this is where this movie falls down a bit. We spend like 32 hours following... these trees, Treebeard and his fucking friends.
And his friends.
Treebeard and his cohort of trees.
It's trees and battles. No, I don't want to take anything away from the battles because Helm's Deep, is that the one?
The Battle of Helm's Deep.
Fucking great.
Yeah.
Fucking great.
Oh, the set pieces in this are exceptional.
Yeah.
They live up to an exceptionally high standard today. There's no doubt about that.
Mm.
But guess
what?
Do you
remember when Game of Thrones was like...
Oh, this is going to...
Oh, the Battle of Winterfell.
Oh, mate.
Oh, mate, it's going to be bigger than Helm's Deep. Didn't what fucking shit is that?
Didn't they drop the ball there?
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Like, if you're going to make a claim that big, you need to back it up. Yeah. You need to at least have lighting that we can actually see.
Nobody could see anything. Maybe it was bigger than Helm's Deep. We just don't know about it.
Maybe. Like, I had to... honestly, I had to adjust the TV... Because I'm I honestly cannot see what the fuck is happening here. Anyway, we're not talking about that today. But anyway, look, trees are boring. I could have told you that before you showed me that they could talk.
Exactly.
I could have said, hey, if you could pick anything from a fucking forest to talk, that would be boring as hell, it'd be trees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did, and that's why The Two Towers is the worst. What's your favorite?
Mine's the Return of the King.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like very close between Fellowship and The Return of the King. It's just I get like super emotional watching The Return of the King, and it's 10,000
endings.
Yeah, it's it. But, you know, I also like when Aragorn just like fucking whoops everybody and there's the big army of ghosts and then there's the, you know, Eowyn gets all badass and...
It all happens.
That was in the second one. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Well, then Sam carrying Frodo up the mountain.
I'll tell you what's going to happen. People will tell you if you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
I promise you that.
I feel like that this is the
this is Lord of the Rings, man
movie. It might not be. I really feel like it's the I am no man situation, and I really love that bit.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mine's The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
Now, by like it's... it's close because The Return of the King is great.
Yeah.
Fellowship is just really good. I love a getting a team together movie.
Yeah.
Like that's really
and
one of my
really
favorite
well
things. That, yeah, it's so well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, it's really well done.
But yeah, getting a team together is one of my favorite sort of things that you can do in a movie. If you've got any movie, if you want to pitch me a movie, just fucking tell me that you're going to get a team together at some point.
You're like, I'm in.
Yeah. You son of a bitch, I'm in. But Fellowship of the Ring, they do that better than anything. You get to meet characters that you're going to love for fucking hours.
Yeah, 12 of them.
Yeah, 12 of them. There's just so much good stuff in this. So Fellowship wins that.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yes. Speaking of getting teams together.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do before we'll move on.
Oh, okay.
We're going to take a quick break.
Oh, damn.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And we're back. That was quick.
Hello.
I told you it was quick. So basically, we're going to talk about the Avengers franchise. Heard of it?
Never. Haven't never. Seen it.
No.
Not interested.
Don't even know.
Who is she?
Never heard of her. 2012's The Avengers, 2015's Avengers Age of Ultron, 2018 Infinity War, and 2019 Endgame. Mm. Now, people are going to be all over this. They're going to say, mate, why are you even bothering? There's obviously a clear shit. And there's obviously a clear winner. Now, I don't know about the clear winner. There is a clear worst movie, and that's Avengers Age of Ultron. But I still fucking really like that movie.
Yeah, I do. I don't think it's not my worst.
It's not your worst?
No.
Okay. Well, please lead away then, because that's my worst, and it's for not much really. So yeah. what is
my worst is The Avengers.
Okay. The original one.
Unlike you, no, I'm not going to say that. I was going to say I don't like a Get the Team Together movie. I do.
Right.
Like a Get the Team Together movie. Everyone but does. This one was like, it was super flashy. I didn't feel like it had a lot of substance. It's fun. It doesn't really measure up to the rest of them. And like they had to build the world. They had to introduce everybody. They had to get the team together. And I feel like it did a good job of paving the way for better films, but it's not the better film.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, if everything you get after that is better. Superior,
yeah.
Then that's fine.
But people don't like Age of Ultron, which is whatever. I liked it more than The Avengers.
Well, Age of Ultron gives you some cool things. It gives you fucking James Spader as Ultron.
Yeah.
It gives you bloody fucking... that guy, Vision.
Vision.
I forgot his name for a sec.
Wanda.
It gives
and
you,
Vision.
Yeah, it gives you Scarlet Witch. Well, yeah. Not at that point, but you know what I mean.
Quicksilver.
It gives you a Quicksilver, which is always good until you know they just decide to kill him off for whatever reason.
Well, you bet you didn't see that one coming.
No, I didn't. But hey, it is what it is. But what's your favorite then? Because I'll just be very quick. I've spoken about this enough. Mm-hmm. Avengers Infinity War is by far
it's the best.
The best movie out of them. Avengers Endgame, the final sequence in Endgame, fucking brilliant.
That's pretty much exactly what I've got here. I said it's stunning. Infinity War is stunning. It's the most emotional I've ever felt.
Yeah.
About a superhero movie like ever.
Yep.
But huge shout out to the assemble scene and beyond.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
In Endgame because fuck.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. But I will watch Infinity War over and over and over. It's just
Exactly. Like Endgame, like I said, has that end sequence which is spectacular. But Infinity War from start to finish is just pieced together and paced so perfectly that you're just like, am I even fucking watching a 3-hour movie?
Exactly.
Like it flies by.
Yeah, it definitely passed the Wii test.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't need to.
Absolutely did. I didn't need to.
No.
I got to pee right now.
just thinking about
just
it.
Just thinking about it.
But I'm like, not gonna, because we're talking about Infinity War.
That's right. but yeah, so it's just like it's so perfectly paced. It just does everything. And even watching it now, like on subsequent rewatches, even though like you know what the fuck happens after Infinity War, you still like fucking, oh, like, come on, Peter, don't leave, Peter.
Yep.
So anyway.
You just kind of hope that they won't get dusted, and they still do.
And they still do. Just keep hoping.
And Endgame was like the perfect follow-up. I think it needed to, like, it peaks at Infinity War, and then it can't keep rising, you know?
Yeah.
You've got to just let it down gently, and I think...
Ebbs and flows.
It ebbs and flows, baby. But Endgame was a perfect follow-up. It's just that Infinity War was the better movie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Agree 100%. Speaking of ebbs and flows, which we're not.
Like a wand.
Like a wand. Like in a wand night. Might ebb and flow in a... bloody wand battle.
Yeah.
We're
talking about Harry Potter, guys.
We're talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
You're a bloody wizard, Harry.
Yeah. There's eight of them.
There's eight of them. There is.
Between 2001 and 2011.
We're not going to go through them all.
That's why I was just like, bro, there's eight. Just do your research, guys. Yeah. There's eight.
You know there's eight
You
movies.
Know what they are. You know, Deathly Hallows Part 2, the final film.
Yeah.
They didn't even have to put the name of the film on the poster. They had this huge billboard, and it just had Harry, Ron, and Hermione, and in the background, like Hogwarts all rubble, and it just said "It all ends" and had a date.
Damn.
So you know that you've got a franchise down when you don't even have to say what it is and everyone knows.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This has been going for 10 years. Yeah. These seven movies, which is impressive in itself that they managed to cover off eight movies, I should say, in 10 years.
Yeah.
Because they're not cheap movies.
No.
But, all right, well, let's get it out of the way then.
Yeah. Well, I want to know, because of the two of us, I've got the Harry Potter fan thing down.
Yes.
So I want to know from you, what is your favorite and least favorite?
Okay. All right. Now... What do you want? I'll start with my favorite.
Yeah.
My favorite is number four, The Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
Because it's not so much a getting a team together movie, but it's getting a whole bunch of teams together in a tournament.
It's like the Olympics.
It's basically Olympics. The Olympics of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So essentially, if a team together movie. Yeah, look, it's look, there is Robert Pattinson's in this movie. Cedric Diggory.
Yeah, Sans Sparkles.
Yep, Sans Sparkles. Victor Krom.
Yes.
I like that dude.
Yeah, he was pretty cool.
What's that Irish Asian chick's name?
Cho Chang. Yeah.
She was cool. I liked her accent.
Yeah, Scottish.
Whatever, mate.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's the same bloody thing.
Yeah.
No disrespect to our Irish and Scottish friends.
All disrespect.
I didn't mean it. But The Goblet of Fire, like there's just, it's kind of the first movie for me anyway, where the kids are kind of, they're not kids anymore. They're starting to be a bit more grown up.
Yeah.
They're doing more grown up things. Mm-hmm. They're in this tournament. There's bloody dragons.
Yep.
There's goblets of fire. There's Dumbledore screaming, Harry, did you put your name in the Goblet of Fire? and a host of other things.
It gets dark.
This is where it starts to get dark, and this is where you start to see the evil sort of come into it, because this is where you first see Voldemort come back, I think, right?
Yeah, he comes back. Yeah. Yep, he comes back in this one. And you've got, in the beginning, you've got the Death Eaters who turn up in the beginning, and they're setting fire to people's tents at the Wizarding World Cup.
Yeah.
Which is just, like,
nuts.
This is true, like, Nazi KKK type behavior.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know, and this is essentially something that was a kids' franchise before that.
Yeah. Well, that kind of segues me into my least favorite. And I'm going to go the first one.
Yeah, okay.
Just purely because... Okay, I won't go the first one. I'll go the second one because it doesn't really matter, because the first one at least is building the world.
Yes.
Right? But the second one, it's just a bunch of kids that I don't care about.
Yeah, okay,
I don't really like kid actors unless they're in Stranger Things.
Okay.
And even they're not kids anymore.
They're all grown up now,
so I don't even know what's going to happen with the next bloody series. They're all going to be 30. But I didn't really care for the movies when they were kids.
Yeah.
But as they got older and they got a bit more serious and they got a bit darker,
yep.
then I really started to get into it. So I'll go with Chamber of Secrets just purely because of the Philosopher's Stone or the Sorcerer's Stone, depending on where
the
you live.
The Philosopher's Stone is a getting the team together movie.
Whatever.
It definitely is.
I know it is, but it's my least favorite getting the team together movie then. So that would be my pick for the worst, the Chamber of Secrets.
No, fair enough.
Our resident Harry Potter expert, I guess.
Yeah.
The
one in this room. Or flexpert, anyway.
The one in this room.
Yeah.
What would your choices be? This would be a little bit tougher for you, I could imagine.
Yeah, it was quite tough. Both of my picks are from the latter half of the series.
Sure.
So when they were darker and grittier and whatnot. My favorite is the final film, Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Okay.
This one's, it's the Infinity War of Harry Potter.
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's stunning, emotional. I'll watch it over and over.
It's not the end game?
No. No, it didn't need, Harry Potter didn't need an end game.
Okay.
Because it didn't
even though
have,
the poster literally says it all ends here.
It all ends here. It just didn't, it didn't have that, you know, big cliffhanger of the dusting like Infinity War did. It kind of just addressed everything in that final, in that final film, but having that huge battle at Hogwarts, everybody got together, you know, good triumphs over evil, you just can't go past it. You know, and your babies are all grown up.
Yeah.
And you're seeing, you know, the adults are interacting with the children as equals and all of these revelations come to light with regards to Snape and Dumbledore himself.
Yep.
And, you know, you kind of this person that you've admired for the entire series, you go, oh, he was actually kind of a little bit of a piece of shit. And Snape, who you thought was kind of a little bit of a piece of shit, is, you know, goes through this semi-redemption.
Yeah.
Still treated Harry like shit, but you understood it a little more.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think that personally I could bring myself to emotionally connect with somebody who, number one, was the son of my tormentor, and number two, was being raised like a lamb for slaughter.
Yeah.
So why would you do it? Anyway, so that's my favorite. My least favorite is The Half-Blood Prince from 2009. I've seen it the least.
Is that the werewolf one?
No, that's the third one. It was Prisoner of Azkaban. There is also a werewolf in this one.
Makes sense.
But this is the one where they really introduce the idea of the Horcruxes, and Dumbledore takes Harry, you know, to try and collect some so that they can destroy them, and there's a whole bunch of other background shit going on, and I'm kind of afraid to say what is the plot because it's so different from the book. It was the worst adaptation.
Sure.
And it was like teen drama to the max. You've got, you know, people putting love potions together for each other, and it amped up the Hollywood of it.
Yep.
Rather than, you know, they had stayed largely true to the books before that, and
okay,
this one just kind of went, fuck it, we're Hollywood now.
Yep.
And
we
that
want
was
these
really
kids to fuck.
Yeah, it was just really kind of weird.
Yeah,
it put a weird feel to it, though. I will say that Tom Felton as Draco Malfoy in this one does some really spectacular acting. So shout out to him. Nothing against him.
Good on you, Tom
Felton. He did a great job, but the film wasn't that great.
Fair enough. Rest in peace, Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
That's all I can say.
Yeah.
And Tom Felton's career. So I don't know what
he lives largely on TikTok now.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah.
He was on The Flash. He did that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else he's done, but that's two things.
Yeah, wasn't
good
he
on your kids more than me.
Was he not in?
I was on the news once.
A Godzilla movie?
Was he?
No, it was Planet of the Apes.
Okay, I'll take
he
your word for it.
He was in a Planet of the Apes movie.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I don't remember him in that at all. Now let's we're gonna start to wrap it up.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, we're gonna do a couple real quick.
Okay.
Okay. We're gonna start to just bang them out rather than really sort of like get into them.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
But we're gonna do X-Men.
Yes.
Now I want to do X-Men.
Shit, mate.
Huh?
Shit.
So I want to do X-Men just as the group movies. Okay. So where there's the X-Men team. Getting a team together. That's the theme of the
show.
Getting the team together.
Okay.
So we're not talking about like the three Wolverine movies or the two Deadpool movies or anything like that.
Okay, right? Great, because that would have been way too easy.
Yeah. So we're going to do the team movies, and obviously that starts with 2000's X-Men and goes all the way into 2019's Dark Phoenix. Yes, you could put in 2020's New Mutants, but I still haven't fucking seen that movie and I'm probably not going to.
Okay.
So we're going to go as far as 2019's Dark Phoenix.
Okay.
What is your favorite?
Days of Future Past.
Fucking brilliant.
Yes.
It's the only correct answer.
I know. So enjoyable.
People will say X2 and you can't like, you know, it's hard to argue. But Days of Future Past is just the perfect kind of
it's the comic book film.
Sure, you could say that.
That's it.
Yep. It's the one.
Yeah,
it's the only one that ever exists.
Yeah,
but it's done really, really well. And I think it kind of takes these, I don't know, these characters that, because like this is 14 years after the original X-Men movie.
Yeah,
so this is kind of the one where they start to play around with bringing both,
yeah, they bring both together. Worlds together,
and I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
Days of Future Past, easily the best. Your worst,
Dark Phoenix,
Dark Phoenix over The Last Stand, because at the very least, The Last Stand had just a shit ton of characters in it.
Yeah, it was like the Last Stand, yeah, you can watch it and just go, oh, it's that guy, what's that guy, hey, it's that guy. Dark Phoenix, not so much,
and it had a very shit Juggernaut. But at least it had the Juggernaut. So, you know, that's something. You got to give it props for that.
Yeah.
Okay, so did we just agree?
Yeah, we did.
Oh, my God. I don't know what's happening.
Also, fuck Deadpool.
Fuck Deadpool?
Fuck him.
Just in general?
Just fuck him.
Okay. Hot take. Just out of nowhere, but fair enough. Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Jurassic Park has had 5 entries so far. There's a 6th coming
including
next year.
So we're including the world movies.
We are including the world movies.
Yeah.
So basically just Jurassic Park, The Lost World, Jurassic Park 3, Jurassic World, not to be confused with Jurassic Park, The Lost World, and Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Excellent.
I suppose.
There's the Sam Neill ones, and then there's the bloody Chris Pratt ones.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
Jurassic Park's the best.
That's pretty easy. Like I feel like it's a bit of a cheat, this one, really, as far as the easiest goes.
It's iconic.
Absolutely. Still holds up.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum. Yes.
Oh, so hot. Take your shirt off, Jeff. Jeff Goldblum should recreate that scene, that shirtless scene or shirt unbuttoned scene in every single movie he does.
I think so.
He should try to like just shoehorn it in to every single thing he's in.
And also the Chaos Theory water droplet thing. Oh, please.
Please. Could you imagine that scene though played out in Thor Ragnarok? Would have worked perfectly if they had just walked in and he was just there like just, lounging
like
with his shirt open.
Blue hair?
Blue hair, I think.
Mm.
Excellent.
Gimme.
What about the worst?
The Fallen Kingdom.
Really?
Yeah, I know a lot of people are going to probably think it's Jurassic Park 3. I personally love it. I think it's so stupid that I love it. But
fucking
Indoraptor, are you serious?
I just think we're at a point where it's kind of like you're just rehashing the same fucking plot over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, and the whole thing with the weird genetically modified clone girl, what the fuck?
Oh, who cares?
Like, what was that?
You know what the thing that pissed me off the most about this movie, though, is the fact that Bryce Dallas Howard's character at the end makes one of the most fucking boneheaded decisions of...
Oh, what is it? I can't remember.
...on-screen history.
What did she do?
We could do a whole episode around dumb things that people do in movies, and I guarantee you this would be number one.
What did she do?
She decides that to save the dinosaur's life... She is going to let them out into the world.
Yeah, she just lets them all out. Yep. She's like, be free.
And then later, we see fucking things killing people, don't we? So she has basically said that dinosaur's life is more valuable than the life of dozens upon dozens of humans, that these killers are definitely going to kill. But they played it. She's an activist now. Well, that's the thing. Activists are fucking annoying.
They're so annoying.
And she has, and you know, she's probably one of the most annoying ones. But I guess my point is more, they played it like it was the right decision. And by no stretch of the imagination.
Like, and nature wins. things.
Like, it's at the end of the day.
But we don't.
Chris Pratt should have just pushed her away. Just yes. pushed her away from the button and said, no.
Pratt indeed.
So because of that, and purely because of that main thing, there's a whole bunch of other shit in that movie that I don't even want to talk about. The fucking, the sad brontosaurus on the end of the thing. Fuck off, man. That was
They may as well have played fucking, what is it? Celine Dion.
But the really shit version on a recorder. Yeah. But yeah, so because of that move, a Fallen Kingdom can eat a whole bag of dicks.
Yeah.
We did promise you guys that there would be some Twilight talk. Yeah. I know you guys were waiting.
You were waiting so much.
You guys were waiting with bated breath. Yeah. And now we're going to fly through it.
Yeah.
Because I do want to talk a little bit more about the last one that we have. But
yeah,
because
it's quite, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, Twilight is 2008's Twilight, then it goes New Moon, Eclipse, Breaking Dawn Part 1 and Breaking Dawn Part 2, where they did need to have the title on the poster because no one gave a shit.
Yep.
And no they one needed cared. To remind people that this is still a franchise. That's
exactly
happening.
Right.
So, yes. Do you, again, this is your thing, yeah. right? This is way your thing. Yep. You've read the books.
Yeah.
You know fan fiction.
I do.
it's weird yep. how deep your knowledge of this crap goes.
Look,
but,
hey, I'm proud of it.
Be proud of it.
I'm gonna.
Stand proud.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell me your favorite and least favorite? So
my favorite's Twilight, the okay. original.
Yes.
I think we've spoken about it on a previous episode, but I think that it was the most well adapted. It's got a wicked soundtrack. And
does it?
Yeah, it does.
Is it all Evanescence?
No.
I know that was Daredevil, but.
No, there's no like Evanescence. There is maybe a little bit too much Muse.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a little too much Muse. Muse there's works. Like there's but there's Muse, there's Linkin Park, there's Mute Math. Yeah, it's a good soundtrack.
I've seen this movie. I do not remember Linkin Park.
The soundtrack is really good.
Okay.
Yeah. And it made vampires cool again, mate. Made them desirable. It's
debatable.
Well,
it made them desirable. That's fine.
Yeah, it made them desirable. Okay, fine.
That works. What's your least favorite?
Least favorite, Breaking Dawn Part 1. It's just a wedding, some really vanilla vamp sex, and then a really messy pregnancy. That's it.
Cool.
That's the movie.
That's the whole movie.
Yeah.
Hard for me to disagree with either of those. Twilight is by far the best one because, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I haven't read any of the books, so I'm basing it purely on the first and only watch that I've had of each of these movies.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you, I don't even think I've seen Breaking Dawn Part 1 or Part 2. Oh. So they're my worst because I didn't even bother to go
enough.
And watch them.
That's fair enough.
So I guess that works. Twilight was fine. It was shit, but it was fine. Like,
fine.
You know, for someone who it wasn't marketed towards at all,
yeah.
Like it was fine.
Yeah.
You guys, right?
You got to listen to the soundtrack, guys.
Just got to listen to the soundtrack.
It's better than the film.
100% less Evanescence than there should be.
Yes.
But hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
The final thing that we're going to talk about, and we're not going to spend ages on this either, but it is one that we do need to cover off. And it is the collection, if you will. It's probably a bit of a cheat because, you know, it's hard to necessarily call this a franchise, but it is the entire collection of the DCEU movies, or what they would have been called as the DC Extended Universe movies.
Yeah.
At any one particular point in time.
Yes.
And if you go and search DCEU on Wikipedia, these are the entries that come up. So it's on the internet.
It's canon, guys.
It's canon. It exists as canon as far as Wikipedia is concerned. But basically we're talking about starting at 2013 with Man of Steel.
Mm.
Then it goes Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Suicide Squad, Wonder Woman, Justice League, Aquaman, Shazam, Birds of Prey, Wonder Woman 2, and I will even be nice enough to throw in the 2021 release of The Snyder Cut.
The Snyder Cut.
So this is...
Well, this is your forte more than mine.
It really depends on how much you want me to rant and rage. However, I will keep it brief.
Okay.
And I will say that my favorite to this day, mm-hmm. and while there are a few movies in there that I do appreciate, my favorite to this day is still 2013's Man of Steel.
Okay.
I cannot. It's just there. Like, I have rewatched this movie quite a few times, and it still definitely holds up. A lot of people don't like the tone that it sets, obviously, and they don't like the fact that Superman kills and like whatever. And there are plenty of things, but some of the action sequences in this movie are fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
So for me, favorite is 2013's Man of Steel. And least favorite, look, honestly, I could give this to Wonder Woman 2. Now, think about that for a second, because we're talking about movies like Suicide Squad, and Justice League.
Yeah.
The original. Mm. But Wonder Woman 2 just did not live up to the premise, to the promise of Wonder Woman, the original one. Like,
yeah.
Wonder Woman, the first movie, could it's one of those ones that you know really sort of could be pushing for my favorite of this series.
Yeah.
And because of that, and then because of the absolute fucking nonsense that we got with Wonder Woman 2, it's kind of like I could penalize it and put it as the worst entry in just purely for how much it fucked up the potential that it had from the first movie.
I'm sensing a but, though.
There's a but, because Justice League, the original, is fucking way worse.
Oh, damn.
But it's not even that. It's Suicide Squad. Wow. I absolutely fucking hate that movie.
You know what? I'll give you that.
I'm not a fan at all. And I think because, like, this is probably one of the first times, because we started Comic Confidential way back in 2016, for those of you that may not know. And then, you know, it went away for a while and we came back. But 2016 is when we started this. And then this was probably one of the first real times that I got fully burnt by a movie once I started covering movies. Because the promise that the trailers gave for how fantastic this movie was going to be, the hype was real. And then the shit that we got when it actually dropped in theaters was just so disappointing. Just so disappointing.
Yeah.
I've watched it a couple of times and it just gets worse. And now I'm just waiting for James Gunn's Suicide Squad to come out, so I can just completely erase the memory. And I will not ever talk about this 2016 Suicide Squad again. The only Suicide Squad that'll exist will be that one.
It'll
and
be
it only
like
needs
Thanos
to be slightly
snapped,
better. Yeah.
You know, half 50% of Suicide Squad's exactly. gone and exactly. it's that one.
That's not from me. What are your picks?
Well, I had a lot of difficulty with this. I really wanted to pick Wonder Woman as my favorite.
Yep.
But the third act let me down.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
In Wonder Woman.
The original, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Snyder Cut, I thought about it, but then I was like, it's too long. It's like too fresh to see whether it stands that test of time, you know.
And it's a second dig at it.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
It's like, but does a second chance get to be my favorite? Probably not. So I agree with you, Man of Steel. This one modernized the origin story of Superman. It humanized him and simultaneously made you realize the exact level of his power.
Yep.
And having that whole thing where he has to choose between his people and humans.
Yep.
Oh, and you know, Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill might have been one of the first times we ever got to see Henry Cavill without a shirt on.
Oh my God.
I know he was in Immortals before this, and that's kind of what led to him getting the role.
Yeah.
He wasn't as buff.
No.
He wasn't as fucking chunky as he is now.
That's right.
So, anyway.
That's right. And he was so pretty in Immortals as well. It's like,
he's still pretty.
Just like gruff him up
he's
a little.
He's always pretty.
He was a little gruffed up in the beginning of Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. So, what's your least favorite?
Aquaman. Yeah.
I would not have thought you would have said that. I don't like it, but.
I couldn't relate to it at all. I feel no connection to it. Yeah. Like I think about it and I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing. I almost picked Shazam.
Oh, come on now.
Well, here's the reason why I almost picked Shazam. I think it's because I saw so much of it in cinemas that I kind of just pieced it together. And I can't remember if I've actually sat down and watched it as a whole or if I've just seen a lot of it having worked at a cinema.
Just for context for the listeners, you used to work at a cinema.
Yeah.
And that's how you've seen it.
Yeah. I don't know if I've actually sat down and watched it. I know that I've seen a lot of it and I don't remember a lot of it. So it's like, I don't know if I've actually seen it or if I just saw a lot of clips at the cinema. It's not that memorable to me. So it almost was my least favorite. But then Aquaman, I just watched it.
Yeah.
You were there.
Was I?
Yeah. We watched it at the cinema.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that didn't happen.
And then we did. Then we did a live stream.
Oh, that's right. We did do that.
Yeah. Okay. And I just thought, oh, okay, this is a movie. I didn't really like it, you know, and I hate Amber Heard. So
we all do.
So, lots of lost points there.
Lots of lost points.
Yeah.
It had some moments, I guess, sure. But you know, I just not didn't. Enough.
Not enough. Not enough for me, friend.
Not enough for me either. Anyway, that is it. Yes. We covered off a million franchises.
So many. That was actually half of what we had initially thrown out.
Oh, God, there were so many.
Yeah.
We would have been still talking about Fast and the Furious if you had watched those eight movies. I guarantee you this whole episode would have been just the best and worst entries into the Fast and Furious. But guess what? That's a trick question because there isn't a bad entry.
Oh, my God. I guarantee there is.
Yeah. There is not, but that is it. That's going to do us for today. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode and perhaps a brand new format. Who knows? Who knows if it's going to be next week? Who knows if it's going to be the week after that? Ooh. Certainly not us. In the meantime, you can check us out on iTunes, Spotify. Mm-hmm. You can subscribe to the show that way. You can leave us a review. You can do whatever you want. Tell a friend about the show.
Please do. Tell everybody. Tell your mum.
Tell your mum.
And then she can go tell everybody in her little friend group at book club, you know, whatever.
The fact that they're at a book club lets me know they're not going to know what the hell a podcast is. if you want to get in contact with us, we have social media.
Yes.
That's the best way to do it.
Absolutely.
If we have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, just search Comic Confidential or Comic Con Pod on any one of those. You can also join the Comic Confidential listener community on Facebook, which is where we spend a lot of our time. So if you want to get really involved, get involved there. And basically, that's kind of it. We're also part of the CC Radio Network.
Yes, we are. And it's got a bunch of great shows like The Countdown with Paul and Wayne. They are incredible.
They're
so funny.
They are.
And there's Believe, the Australian Paranormal and UFO podcast.
Less funny. Way less funny.
Way less funny, but super, super interesting.
It's super interesting and informative.
Yes.
And hey, that kid's going places, I can tell. That Cade kid, that host.
That Cade. He's a good kid. Oof, Kyle. As he's also known as.
AKA Kyle. That's an inside joke, guys. But that is it. Thanks for listening. As always, I'm Troy.
I'm Rachel.
And this has been Comic Confidential.